There is a home movement happening in our culture. Some aspects began 50 years ago as families began to reclaim birth at home. Many of you are listening to this presentation because you are a part of the homegrown food or the homesteading movement. My intention for this presentation is to offer another opportunity for you to reclaim what is yours. Death has been gone from our sight for some time, and what I have seen is that its absence is affecting our relationship to life, community, and the earth. By preparing yourself to care for your loved ones after death, you are reclaiming one of the oldest acts of being human and opening the possibility for deep healing in your family and in our culture. What brings you home? Whether your passion is home birth, homegrown food, or home funerals, we all have many of the same answers. Being closer to family. Feeling a sense of empowerment with how we spend our days. A strong sense of environmental awareness and stewardship for the earth. Connection to our communities, to the land that we live on, to our planet, and to ourselves. Safety, in the form of what we are consuming. Health, in the realm of what we put into our bodies and what we experience on a daily basis. And of course, self-sufficiency. In London, when entering the train, this is what you see. What a great reminder for life and death these days. Currently, we have amazing resources in place for caring for the sick or dying, and there are many resources for grief support after they are gone. It is this gap, the time from when death has happened until we go back to life as usual, the liminal space of reflection and integration that is not addressed well in our dominant culture. The way we care for ourselves and the dead can have a great impact on our well-being as our lives move forward after the death of a loved one. Our cultural knowledge of death and dying is seen here in these pictures. For these folks in the 1800s, our not too distant ancestors, death was still woven tightly into the fabric of life. People knew about the stages of dying, and they were not afraid of dead bodies. They even took pictures with their deceased loved ones to memorialize their passing. Here you can see a family with the coffin of their baby. It wasn't until the Civil War, when people were dying at an alarming rate far from home, that the technology of embalming came to be practiced on the dead. The men that died in the South and longed to be buried in the North with their families received this experimental practice as new funeral directors and embalmers practiced their new trade. It wasn't until the death of Abraham Lincoln and his embalming for his great traveling on the railroad to see all of the mourners around the country that embalming became in vogue and trendy and a sign of affluence. This quote can be seen in many pamphlets of recent and current funeral homes. It says, "Show me the manner in which a nation cares for its dead, and I will measure with mathematical exactness the tender mercies of its people, their respect for the laws of the land, and their loyalty to high ideals." Well, let's take a look and see how the practice of embalming coincides with the ideas in this quote. Contrary to public perception, embalming is not required by law anywhere in the United States. In certain rare cases, communicable diseases, or an extended period of time before disposition, embalming may be mandated by law. However, it is often the policy of funeral homes to require embalming if there is to be a public viewing. Funeral directors are responding to our cultural need to protect one another from death. And you'll see in the pictures, the above are the tools of the embalmer. And the bottom are the bottles of embalming fluids and different chemicals that are put into the body at the time of death. And here are some familiar sights from funerals these days. This is what you might see at a conventional funeral in the United States. Well, here's another perspective. I'd like to share with you Allison's story. In 1995, Allison died from the impact of an airbag in a low-speed auto accident. She was 7 years old. Her mother, Beth, said, "I'd brought Allison into this world, nursed her, and seen her through nursery school and first grade. I couldn't turn my back on her and just walk away, surrendering her to the cold hospital morgue and handing her over to strangers. I wanted to take her home and care for her there, just like I had done when she was alive." So with the reluctant assistance of a funeral director, Beth was allowed to bring Allison's body home. In her bedroom, Beth dressed her daughter in a soft white dress, placed a wreath of flowers around her head, laid her in a simple pine casket padded with dry ice and surrounded by pictures, favorite toys, and stuffed animals. And then she opened her home to the community. For the next 3 days, Allison's schoolmates, teachers, babysitters, friends, all came to say goodbye. They came bearing gifts of food and flowers, homemade cards. The children played with Allison's younger brothers, filling the house with laughter and helping the boys find some comfort and distraction from their loss. Family and friends came and sat with Allison, as did her brothers themselves, who came to understand that the spirit of the sister lying in the coffin on her own bed had gone and would not return. Beth calls that vigil both terrible, and beautiful. At the end, she was able to find the will to let her daughter go. Allison's family story is a story of community involvement, of meaning-making, and of advocacy. Allison's mom says that to the degree that death can be ameliorated by love, that is what happened. The community lifted us and carried us, helping us bear and even find beauty in a very large loss. Beth also says that there is a comfort and a healing that comes from physically caring for the dead and from spending quiet, private time in the presence of death. It is a tremendous help in the bereavement process and helps you see death as a natural part of the life cycle. So what about home funerals then? Sounds like a crazy idea, no? Well, I will tell you that home funerals are legal. They are legal in every state and province. There are only 9 states that require a funeral director to be involved for signing the death certificate or for transportation of the body. But in these states, you can still keep the body of your loved ones home for an extended period of time and do all of the after-death care on your own. And you'll see there at the bottom of the slide the list of the states that still require some work with a funeral director. Embalming is not required by law in any state. Now, I will say that there is a difference between the law and the policies that govern funeral homes or cemeteries. There are some cemeteries that require you to be embalmed before you may be buried there, but I will say that that is not a law, that is just a rule for that cemetery, and should you find this to be the case, I encourage you to find a cemetery with different rules and a more willingness to participate in natural burial practices. Embalming is about looking good for the viewing, not about preserving the body. You may have heard of vaults, a concrete barrier that is put around the edges of a grave. These are not about preserving the body. Rather, they are to make the cemetery maintenance easier. Home funerals may include many things, and these things are decided upon by the family. At a home funeral, we care for loved ones at our homes, churches, or anywhere else that feels appropriate. You may include family and friends in any aspect of body care or preparing the loved one for a disposition. If you choose, you may include funeral professionals at any step of the way. Available to you are home funeral guides, death doulas, death midwives, and of course, friendly funeral directors that can help with all manner of aspects of the funeral. For instance, you may want to do all of the hands-on body care on your own, but find that filling out the paperwork does not facilitate your grief process. And so therefore, I encourage you to hire a funeral director just for these parts. Home funerals include bathing, anointing, and dressing the body. If you choose, you may prepare the body for a viewing at home or at a church. And I will say that there are some laws that reference a public viewing as being a requirement for some sort of embalming or care with a funeral director. But if you are showing the body at your home or at your church, that is not considered a public viewing, but rather a private viewing, and is not subject to the laws. You may have a funeral gathering at your home or elsewhere, and it is within your rights to file paperwork on your own, therefore saving the family quite a bit of money. Also, you may transport the body from the hospital or the care home where the person died to the house where the body will be cared for, and you also may transport the body on your own from the home to the cemetery or the crematorium. This can be a very satisfying ritual, a sort of carrying your loved one home. These are the tools of the home funeral guide, or of the family who is caring for their loved ones. Towels, candles, an eye pillow to keep the eyes closed if you choose to set the features that way, essential oils, and all manner of things to make one feel at home, just like you were giving someone that you loved a bath. Let's contrast that with the tools of the funeral director. Here you see the chemicals and the invasive tools on the table, nothing that we would want our loved ones to be treated with. When the earthquake happened in Haiti, there was a phenomenon of grief work that was observed. At first, the people were doing what needed to be done, recovering bodies, clearing rubble, and working together to survive the early days of the atrocity. But later, what happened was when the relief organizations came in, people were told to stop and wait. Paperwork needed to be filled out. People needed to know for sure that they would get financial reimbursements for the damages. And so in that time of sitting and waiting, people began to fret. People began to fight and argue and grieve in a way that was devastating. In times of grief and trauma, feeling like you have a purpose, something that you can do to add to the greater good, can make the difference between post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic growth. I share this with you because what I have seen is that home funerals are healing. Home funerals offer more time and flexibility for the family to integrate the new reality. There's a natural flow of events and therefore an ability for emotions to flow. Families will sometimes feel overwhelming sadness and then find themselves laughing. Deep belly laughs at sharing stories of the life of the person who has died. Home funerals normalize death and diminish our fears. They give us the opportunity to teach children about the life cycle. We are allowed to move slowly through the new reality and embrace our grief and our loss. Most interesting is that home funerals give people a chance to be useful. As I shared in that last slide, when there is a trauma, feeling like you have something to offer to your family, to your community, or to the person who has died can make a huge difference in the way that you process your grief and can make the difference between post-traumatic stress and post-traumatic growth. Home funerals do an amazing job of helping us to find meaning in our loss. Now I'd like to share with you the story of Doug Comfort and his wife Louise. Doug was diagnosed with breast cancer, rare for men, but definitely something that happens. Doug had two teenage sons and a very loving relationship with his wife. As his wife Louise shopped around to make preparations for after his death, she felt that every funeral home she went to, it was more like interacting with a used car salesman than it was like interacting with someone who was going to help her through the hardest thing that she had ever gone through. Luckily for Louise, she found a friend who also knew a home funeral guide and taught Louise that it was possible for her to care for Doug after death at home. Louise rallied her friends, for her family lived far away, and found that she had a community of women that she could call on, close friends that would come in her hour of need to help her move her husband's body, to wash him and dress him and hold her hand as she did this heartbreaking work. Louise's community painted this box top of Doug's coffin. And at the last minute, she realized that the experience of the home funeral of Doug had meant so much to her that rather than putting the box top in the crematorium with Doug's body, she decided to keep it on the wall as a memento to remember the support that she had been given. Home funerals are safe. Home funerals are safe for caregivers and for the deceased. According to the Centers for Disease Control, a dead body does not pose any increased health risk. To ensure the safety of the body, we keep it cool with ice or air conditioning. We have had bodies stay fresh in a 70-degree room for up to 3 days. There is never a need for embalming or disinfecting in a normal home funeral death. As in other cases, you may use universal precautions if this person has died from an HIV/AIDS infection or some sort of hepatitis. You would use universal precautions at death in the same way that you would in life. Here are some examples of proper care for when handling the deceased. Fluids and odors, if present, are managed very easily. You can wash them with soap and water, which is the same process that we use when washing the body. If there are some smells, you may anoint the body with essential oils. I also think that this is a fantastic practice, as many essential oils can ease anxiety and bring great comfort to the living. Some of my favorites in this case are lavender and frankincense. Especially if it is a warm day, but as good practice, we recommend that you cool the body with dry ice or ice packs. And then, after you are done washing the body as an act of ritual and care, you may dress the body, spend time with it at home, and then transfer the body to the place where it will be disposed. What we've noticed and what I've seen is that the mark of a good death is that it is a village-making event. Death is not a mistake. It's not something the world shouldn't have. It serves a purpose, and it brings people together when it's done right. I want to emphasize that there are no professional skills required in handling after-death care. We instinctively do what needs to be done. Families and communities may need guidance to reclaim this practice, but we all know how to do it. As you'll recall in those pictures from the 1800s, this is work that our family has been doing for thousands and thousands of years. It has been such a short time that we've forgotten that we know how to care for the dead, and I think that it will only take a very few generations of us practicing these skills to bring it back to being the norm. What about the environmental impact of our current dominant culture's funeral practices? Every year in the United States, we bury over 827,000 gallons of embalming fluid. That's about the amount of 6 Olympic-sized swimming pools. We bury in the earth 104,000 tons of steel in the form of caskets and vaults, 17,000 tons of copper and bronze, and over 1 million tons of reinforced concrete. As I said earlier, that concrete is for vaults, which only make cemetery maintenance easier. And oh, those trees. 45 million board feet of lumber, including hardwoods and rainforest woods, are buried in the earth as coffins. So then cremation. You think maybe that's the answer. But let me show you this. Cremation requires fuel to burn for 3 to 5 hours, depending on the size of the body, at a temperature of over 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit. This is enough fuel to drive 4,800 miles. It emits mercury into the air and produces over 250 pounds of carbon dioxide. My proposal for a healthier way of burying bodies is green burial. Only unembalmed bodies can be buried in a green burial grounds. Biodegradable containers, including shrouds, are used. There are no vaults, and in certain places, their goals involved land restoration and conservation. There is indeed a natural burial movement. We use biodegradable containers, shrouds, and urns. The land trusts create preservation and recreational spaces for people to come and reflect. Embalming is eliminated. The use of vaults, pesticides, and herbicides are not permitted in green burial grounds. Many times the location of the body is marked by GPS or native-looking memorials such as trees, small rocks, or other plant markings. This greatly reduces the carbon footprint and returns human remains to the earth where they belong. You do not need to buy fancy, trendy, or expensive products for burial. These are some simple and artful ideas that are available, though a simple shroud, grandma's quilt, a cardboard box, or a simple pine casket all make a loving tribute to the dead. Art therapy and nature therapy are often strong elements in a home-centered death care. When we participate in creating beauty in moments of death and sadness, the beauty makes its mark on our memories along with the grief. They get filed in our brain together and help ease the trauma of losing someone we love. Well, here's a joyful picture of a way that you could transfer a body to the cemetery. Home funerals and green burials are created by the people involved. It is possible to honor a veteran properly or to follow the specific religious customs offered by the deceased. And here's a picture of Ramsey Creek Memorial Preserve in South Carolina, a green burial grounds. When we can rely on each other to do the hard, physical work of laying the dead to rest, it becomes a community affair. We become stronger. We build trust. There is amazing information in the world of trauma research that shows moving our bodies is the best way to process grief so the pain is not stuck inside. We create health when we actively participate in the work that needs to be done. Hiring someone else to do it could cause us to miss out on profound opportunities to integrate healing. And here are some examples of some natural burial sites. You can see her laying those beautiful flowers around the grave before it gets filled in. And you might notice there that in a green burial grounds, we don't bury at 6 feet under, but rather closer to 4 or 2 feet where the soil microbes are more active. Those of you who are gardeners understand the strength and the importance of soil science. When we bury bodies so deep, at 6 feet, the bodies are not able to be decomposed as quickly and return to the earth as well as when we bury them more shallow. Here's a picture of some beautiful mandalas from the White Eagle Natural Burial Grounds in Washington. I love the use of the mandala and the bits of nature to remind us that we go back to where we came from. And a stark contrast here, the desert burial grounds of La Puerta in New Mexico, and their lovely horse-drawn wagon that can be used to bring the body home. Everyone can help. Building a casket is a great task for family members. Also, carrying the body out of the house is an age-old honor and a moving moment. If the time spent with the body is allowed to unfold naturally, family members can feel when it's time for this transitional act. It can often feel like an important marking of a new phase in the lives of the living. At a conventional funeral, children are made to dress up, be still, and be quiet, if they are allowed to attend at all. At this home funeral, the children were not only present, but they were asked to be useful and given the space to process their grief through art. Many hands make beautiful work. Your rights to have a home funeral and to independently care for the dead are protected by law to some degree in every state. If having access to these rights is important to you, then I invite you to join in educating your local institutions about the legality and importance of honoring a family's wishes at end of life. Not every hospital, care home, or vital records office understands this. You could find yourself in a vulnerable moment, having just experienced the death of a family member, and end up advocating for your rights when what you need is to be spending time with family. Mind the gaps in your community to help ensure home funeral access is available for everyone. For more information, please visit our website. Become a member. It helps to know where the pockets of informed folks are gathered. Rise up and be counted.